Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Something genuine has to happen in the life of a person who responds to God's revealing Himself. And then when that happens, God does a work and He begins it and they are a whole new person. The source, though, is heaven. The religious leaders had been teaching rules and laws. Here's what you got to do. Here's what makes you more righteous. Here's how you have to do it. Here's how you have to say it. Here's how you have to wear it. But those things never, ever changed the heart of the person.
You can probably name lots of things you'd like to change about yourself, ways you wish you were different. Well, as Pastor Troy explains in today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, you can't make these changes on your own. Sure, you can make different choices and follow new rules, but true and lasting change has to start in your heart, which is only something God can do. You'll discover that God is all about transforming you from the inside out. He wants to work in your heart and see your life transformed. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 3 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
All right, we are in John chapter 3, verses 9 through 21. The title today is A Whole New Life. Last it was, you must be born again. And the result of that, obviously, is a whole new life. Various polls have been conducted asking the question, if you could change one thing about your life, what would it be? Lots of answers were given. Most of the answers dealt with body type, age, hair type, those kinds of things. The remaining answers dealt with places like where you were born. I wouldn't have gotten into that relationship. If I could go back, I would do some things differently, make different choices. I wish I had made different choices. Where I was born or when I was born. Some would love to have been born in a different time or era. So these were most of the answers, but almost never did anyone say, I would like to change my character or my personality, something on the inside that is me. They almost never say that. They want the external things changed, the things that will affect how people perceive them or things that have happened in their life, but never their own personal character. ABC had a show, Extreme Makeover. I don't know if it's still on or not, but it's where they would take a team of people and they would help an individual change all the outward things to make them the most beautiful them possible. It was all outward. But what about the real person? What about them? What about the heart? See, they couldn't do that. What about the soul? Who we really are? That's the most important part of us. More important than the outward. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Will you trade something for your soul? Well, that's the discussion we find ourselves in today. It's the text we find ourselves in. We're in the middle of a discussion where Jesus has just told Nicodemus that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, Nicodemus tried to process this from an earthly perspective. He was thinking, how can I go back in and be born again? How can I do that? He was thinking purely from an earthly or worldly perspective. Jesus clarifies, giving a spiritual perspective to him. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he says, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. And we talked about the spiritual or internal work versus the external work. How so many are looking at changing the external. They read books so they can figure out how to do things externally. Oh, you need to act this way. Okay, I'll act this way. Oh, you need to present yourself this way. Okay, I'll present myself this way. You need to take these moves. Okay, I'll take these moves. All that's external. It's here's what you need to do. Do it. It's like the law. You need to do this. Do it. But it doesn't change the heart of a person. And that's what Jesus' point was. Unless the heart of a person is changed, that person's never going to see the kingdom of heaven. Because it's not about law. It's not about outward observing. It's about an inward work. Something happens on the inside, that which is born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus was thinking external changes. Jesus was speaking about internal changes. And in verse 9, we pick up, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" So that's his response now at this point in the conversation. His question is very similar to those. Have you ever heard anyone say, "People don't change. People can't change"? You ever heard that? I've heard it. And it's true. People can't change. They can change what they decide to do with what they feel and what they think, but at the core, they still feel and think the same things. But that's without God in the equation. We can actually see things differently. We can actually think differently. We can actually be a whole new person with a whole new life because God can do that work. And that's the work that must happen. That's called being born again. That's why works can never save us. You have to be a different person. The old you is dead. We'll talk about that today. Just kind of floating down the stream of life. But you become alive in Christ. It's a whole new you, a whole new life. So a person can be changed on the inside, but Nicodemus's response is, "How can this be? How can this happen? I don't see how this could happen." And in verses 10 through 21, we answer the question, how a person can be born again. Verse 10 says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven.'" So the first thing we're going to consider is the source of new life, which comes from heaven. Nothing you can ever do. You cannot demand it. You cannot claim it. You cannot force it. You cannot book learn it. You cannot put the Bible on your face and osmose it. The only place that this new work comes, that this new life comes, is from heaven. God does it. We can't fool God. We can't convince him. Something genuine has to happen in the life of a person who responds to God's revealing himself. And then when that happens, God does a work and he begins it and they are a whole new person. The source, though, is heaven. The religious leaders had been teaching rules and laws. Here's what you got to do. Here's what makes you more righteous. Here's how you have to do it. Here's how you have to say it. Here's how you have to wear it. But those things never, ever changed the heart of the person. But Jesus taught people about the importance of the heart. Do you remember Jesus would say, "You say adultery, you know, adultery. You shall not commit adultery." Well, actually, God said it, but he's saying, you're interpreting it as, you say, don't commit adultery. But I say, if you even think it in your heart, you've already committed it. It's here. This is the place I need to change. This is the place that must change. So he not only told them what was necessary, but ultimately Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and gave his Holy Spirit, giving us what we need to change. What Jesus is saying is the source of new life is not found in religion. You say, don't commit adultery. That's my religion. In my religion, we don't do that. But I say that you must be transformed from the inside. Your heart has to be different. And it comes from heaven. Religion is a system or a philosophy that depends on information. Whenever you take in information and it's only information and it gets to your brain so that you start to try to do things different, all you're changing is your mind. All you're doing, and that's what we're called to do. The Bible, the scriptures renew our minds, but we're given something else that allows us to walk in newness of life. But religion changes the way we think, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and so we can walk in it and we can look very righteous, very good. We can become very successful. But it has nothing to do with whether we have a heart that has been transformed. Christ, however, brings transformation. It's a must. That's being born again. Jesus comes into a life and he saves that life, pulling them out of the pit that had consumed them. An illustration that I had heard was a man who didn't know about the hidden dangers of the desert stepped into and began sinking in quicksand. The more he struggled to try to help himself, the more quickly he sank. As he cried out for help, Confucius walked by and said, Confucius say that men should stay away from such places. Then he walked away, leaving the man to figure out his mess on his own. Later, Buddha walked by, stroked his chin, and said, your suffering is a good example for the rest of mankind, I say. After that, Muhammad walked by, saw the man struggling, and said, well, whatever the will of Allah is, it will be. Finally, Jesus walked by, and seeing the man was helpless to save himself, he put out his hand and said, give me your hand, I'll save you, and pulled him out.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. Now that's Christianity. It's God coming to earth. It's our mess. We're sinking. We can't get out of it. We don't even know how. And for the most part, we don't even know that we need to get out of it. But Jesus, he came and he bore witness of the truth. And we learned what? This isn't what it's all about. What? This isn't how I'm supposed to live. What? This isn't what I'm supposed to live for. And we learned the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Another example I was thinking about was that of a ship. You're on a sinking ship and you don't know it. You're lost and you're going to die and you don't know it. It doesn't matter how much fun you have. It doesn't matter if you're the captain or a servant on the ship, a customer, if you have a loft or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is the ship's sinking and everyone's going to die. And so we need to be made aware that the ship is sinking. We don't need a philosophy of life while on the ship. We don't need that. We need to be made aware the ship is sinking. And not only that, we need to be given direction on how to exit the ship so that we don't sink. And it's the Lord who we find provides the lifeboats. Or, I guess if you could say he works miraculously, provides us the capacity or ability to walk on the water with him, to leave the boat, to leave all of that behind. So the source of new life, it doesn't come from anything that we have on earth. It comes from heaven. Verse 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that he who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So now we talked about the source of new life. Let's talk about the force of new life, and that is the atonement. It's the atonement, the death of Christ. So Jesus brings new life to earth from heaven, but the question is, how does it work? How does that give us new life? What's the force behind it? What enables it? And the answer is very clear in the scriptures and very simple. Death. Death is the fourth. Death brings life. It's the death of Christ. When Jesus speaks about Moses lifting up the serpent, Moses had to lift up the serpent. He says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, when Jesus speaks about being lifted up here, he's not talking about being exalted. He's talking about being executed. So, be lifted up, Lord, be lifted up. We do want to lift him up. We want to lift his name. He's higher. But being lifted up also reminds us that he was crucified, nailed to a cross, lifted up for all to see. I know when we sing it or when we say it, we mean, be lifted higher, Lord, be lifted higher, exalted. Because we certainly aren't saying, be more abused, Lord, get on that cross, you know, and let everyone see. But when Jesus spoke about being lifted up, this is what he was talking about. The Son of Man must be lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent. You see, here's what happened. During the wilderness wanderings, the children of Israel were provided for by God. They had plenty. They never had need. God even did miracles. On the seventh day, they didn't have to gather, and the manna was good. And it was never good any other day. You couldn't keep it for 2 days. So it was miraculous provision from the Lord. It's clear. But they became a little disgruntled, complaining about things. And so the Lord sent judgment upon them. And it was in the form of serpents. Many were killed by the serpents. The bite would put poison in them and they would end up dying. However, since the serpents were killing the people, the Lord had mercy on them. And he provided a remedy. It's a weird remedy. It's strange. Doesn't seem like it would work. See, the serpents represented the consequences of the rebellion against God. That's what the serpents represented. You've been bitten. But in his mercy, God told Moses, make a brass serpent, put it on a pole, lift it up so that all can look to it, so that all can see it. And those who believe and choose to look at it, they have to do it themselves. God didn't make them do it. Those who chose to look at it did so by faith that it would work. That it would be healed. It didn't make sense, right? How many of you would get bit by a snake, and someone comes along, just look at the stick. Just look at the stick, you'll be fine. No, you know what? It's a distraction. This is not going to heal anything. You just want me to die or something. But that was the remedy. Look to the serpent. Look to this thing that's been lifted up. So they had to trust God, right? Because this was the method God prescribed. It didn't make sense, but it was the method God prescribed. So it is with Christ and the cross. Scripture says it's foolishness to some. They don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. How could that happen? Well, how it all happens, how it all transpires, I don't know exactly. But what I do know is God said it, and that's the prescription. You must look to Christ. You see, there was a personal debt that condemned everyone. Every single one of us, a sin debt. The snakes were loose and we'd all been bitten. And this is our fault. Wasn't Adam's snake. We'd all been bitten by our own snakes. We all have our own sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It doesn't say, for all have been affected by Adam's sin. It says, for all sinned, fall short of the glory of God. But why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't we just build another, you know, picture of the Son or something like that and lift it up? Just look to that, you know, just like then. Well, because of the law. The law said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The law said that death was the price for sin. And so, I don't know if you know this or not, but God is just. That's why there is a hell. That's why there is eternal condemnation, because God is just. If he were only the kind grandpa that gives everything, then there would be no hell. There'd be no justice either. Just be, come on, I know you were horrible. You never did anything, but I love you. Get in here. You go to heaven. He's just also. And because he's just, there must be payment for the penalty of sin. Justice had to be served. Did you know that you get a ticket or something like that, and the officer lets you off? Justice hasn't really been served. Did you know that? You got a warning, but you did something, you violated, and it hasn't been paid. Well, really, it has been paid, because you nailed Jesus to the cross with that. Every violation, everything that we do, has been stuck to the cross. Like the picture we had on Good Friday when we came and we brought things that we wanted to stick to the cross or leave at the cross. A very emotional time. Everything is covered at the cross for those who believe. Justice had to be served. So that tells us why he had to do it. But why did he choose to do it? Because he didn't have to choose to do it. And that's given us here too in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hebrews 12 tells us that it was for the joy that was set before him that Christ endured the cross. That's amazing. So the force behind this new life is the atonement. It enables us. When we put our faith in him, our sin debt is paid. That's important because we're not cleansed. We can't be in the presence of God if we're not first cleansed. But there's more than that, this force. It's not just that he died that gives us force. See, his death cleanses us and opens us and makes us available for that which would be the engine, the force. What good does it do to pay a man's debt and to continue to let that man float down the stream dead? I paid for it, and yet there he goes. Paid for, but it's paid for. And see, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. When we put our faith in him, not only are we cleansed and able to spend time in the presence of God, forgiven of everything, but we are also enabled to walk with him. To walk in newness of life, to have a whole new life. Now the old you, you're still there. You still think kind of the way you used to, but you have a whole new life now. You've been born again. The new man is alive and is at odds with the old man, the old nature.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what he wants to teach you in his word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.